following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
What's up, Refuge family? Welcome back to another Refuge Daily. My name's Noah. If you haven't seen me before, I'm the junior high pastor here at Refuge, and I'm super glad to have this opportunity to talk with you guys. We've been going through a new series. I just ended one and explaining to you guys over Refuge Daily. I like to kind of go through what the junior hires are going through on here, so there's that kind of communication to you guys on what's happening with the youth and how we're kind of pursuing goals of what it means to grow and be discipled in our faith. The last series I did was a series called Stretch, where we was how do we grow our faith? That was the whole concept of the series. And was it something that we did, something God did? Was it something that we kind of had to work through with our faith and as we walked with the Lord? But now we're starting a new series called Canceled. And this series is all about loving people who aren't like us, kind of going through the differences and figuring out what does it mean as a believer for us when we run into those people that we don't really understand, or whether it's a different culture, different political viewpoint, all sorts of different things that can kind of cause us to want to avoid people. How do we get past that and overlook that to show love? And what does Jesus say about that? And what did he do in those situations when there was this clash of culture that we really see present today, especially in the United States and other places all around the world? But I've been kind of describing it to the junior hires in something that, in a way they would understand, through something called cancel culture. This was this thing that was trending online, and it was kind of a combination of three different things: online shaming, call out culture, and cancel culture. Okay. So what do those three things mean? Call out, shame, cancel. Well, they all kind of combine to make the thing that I called cancel culture. To call out is to publicly hold someone accountable for something harmful they said or did. And we all need to be called out sometimes, but is it possible to be too eager to point out other people's mistakes? To shame means to mock, embarrass, or humiliate someone, and this could be anything from posting a meme to doxing someone, which is a little extreme. When we do something that hurts others, we should feel ashamed of our actions, but do we have the right to hurt or be cruel to people we disagree or are angry with? And the final aspect of this cancel culture is to cancel. We can often frame this in the idea of what it means to boycott. To boycott someone you believe needs to be held accountable for something they said or did. And boycotts are an important tool for creating positive change. And we think politically how we could do that to make positive change in the world. But how do we balance the accountability of boycotting with grace and forgiveness when we cancel? So calling out, shaming, and canceling are all a little different, but where they meet is what we call cancel culture. And this was something that was trending on social media. It happened a lot, led to a lot of cyber bullying kind of situations. And it's a jumbled mess when we get basically legitimate concerns get lost in drama, pettiness, cruelty, and revenge. And that's what the heart of it was. So it's usually about what happens online, as I said, but we struggle with these same issues in our offline relationships too. With or without internet, we can sometimes be critical, judgmental, impatient, uncaring, and cruel. And so for the next few weeks, I'm talking about with junior high about four kinds of people most of us would rather avoid than love, whether it's because of ill feelings toward them or awkwardness or social tension. And basically, what do we do about those situations besides just avoiding them? Like we kind of taking the easy way out. So I'm actually going to be reading from John chapter 4, verses 1 through 26. And due to time constraints, I'm going to quickly kind of summarize this passage. So social media, right, might be a modern invention, but humans have always been quick to avoid certain peoples who are different. In Jesus's time, people were often canceled by society when they sinned, got sick, were poor, disabled, or were from a different country or culture. Maybe that sounds horrible, but how often do people today get angry or even violent toward people with a different skin color, political view, gender, or religious belief? Go no further than Facebook, because you will see all of that there, because this happens very often. During Jesus' time, there was a major rift between two people groups, the Jews and the Samaritans. The Jews were kind of God's chosen holy people. That's where Jesus was from. And the Samaritans were kind of people from a neighboring city. So kind of picture the rivalry between the Angels and the Dodgers, but like worse, way worse. And so there was major differences between the Jews and the Samaritans that led to major disagreements. And if social media had existed back then, the posts between the Jews and Samaritans would have been pretty intense. Their ethnic and cultural differences made them distrust each other. Their political differences made them angry at each other, and their religious differences made them hate each other. So for hundreds of years, you would never see a Jew and a Samaritan interacting, let alone having a respectful conversation about the differences in their customs or beliefs. But then Jesus showed up, and that's where John chapter 4 comes in. I'm sure you've all heard the story of the woman at the well, where this conversation happens, where Jesus kind of rose above the social and religious restrictions of the day, and he has this conversation where it's a respectful conversation. And the woman is kind of like, hey, why are you talking to me? First of all, woman, but also Samaritan, you're a Jew. That's kind of crazy. This should not be happening. But then what does Jesus do? He shows respect. He values her despite their differences. And I encourage you guys to whether pause it, I know you're watching it live, but pause it and read through that, John 4, 1 through 26. Because despite their differences, Jesus and the Samaritan woman both did something remarkable. Jesus valued her. And although Jews were accustomed to dismissing and hating Samaritans, Jesus never dismissed or was cruel to this woman. Instead, he valued her enough to start a conversation with her. He treated her with respect. He shared with her the good news that would change her life forever and ended up changing the whole town because she also showed value to Jesus. And although Samaritans were accustomed to dismissing and hating Jews, this woman valued Jesus enough to give him a drink of water, to listen and learn from what he was saying and how he kind of called her out on the sin that she was participating in. And then she respected him by telling others what she learned. And that changed the whole town to the point of where they all believed that Jesus was the Messiah and the Christ, and they got saved. And that's incredible. According to customs, it would have been already controversial for a respectable man like Jesus to speak with an unmarried woman as if she was equal. On top of that, Jesus was a Jew talking to a Samaritan. So imagine the change that if we acted this way, where we kind of cross those boundaries to show love. If we acted this way with the people we don't like or who we seriously disagree with, everyone would have expected Jesus to either ignore or condemn this woman. But by choosing to love, embrace, and value her, Jesus challenged his followers to love people who are different instead of rushing to avoid them. Because both Jesus and the Samaritan woman valued each other instead of letting their differences separate them, many lives were changed in that town. One Jewish man came into a culture that was supposedly supposed to cast him out and hate him, and he showed love, and that changed the entire nature of it, entirely. So whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, there's a passage in the book of 2 Timothy, and I think we all can learn from this passage. One of the early Christian leaders was a man named Paul, and the book of 2 Timothy is a letter that Paul wrote to a young man he was mentoring, named Timothy. And here's one of the things he told him in 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4. He said, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." So Paul is warning Timothy here that people tend to only believe or listen to things they want to hear. And he's specifically talking about theology, what people believe about God. But that's true about a lot of things, I feel, especially in our culture, especially in the context of the times with the election right around the corner. We prefer to hang around people who like the things we like, think or talk like we do, behave like we do, believe the things we believe. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that most of the time. But here's where it can go wrong. When we only spend time with people who are just like us, we forget to value people who are different than us. We only learn from people who already agree with us, which means we don't really learn anything new. And the Jews and Samaritans both believed God was okay with them ignoring and hating each other because nobody was teaching them otherwise until Jesus was kind of thrown into the equation. Because they surrounded themselves with people who believed that too, they continued to be comfortable with that belief. But when Jesus crossed the dividing lines to have a conversation with a woman who was different than him, he helped both sides see just how wrong they had all been. Through their conversation, Jesus challenged both the Jews and the Samaritans to love the people who are sometimes the hardest to love. People who are different than us, our neighbors who may not share our culture, our values, behaviors, skin color, language, or beliefs. Through his example, Jesus challenges us to do the same, to love people who aren't like you. So, it's okay to have differences. the Jews and the Samaritans had a lot of differences in their customs and culture. But did you notice that Jesus did not seem interested in addressing any of those differences or expecting the Samaritan woman to become Jewish? Jesus didn't tell her she needed to change all of her customs in order to follow him. He didn't tell her she needed to talk or act or dress a certain way or sing a certain kind of worship song to become a believer. And I mean, right now, all over the world, there's followers of Jesus are worshiping in different ways that are unique to their culture and context. Those differences aren't something to fear. They're beautiful. And there are Jesus followers all over the world of every culture, skin color, speaking more languages than you could name. Even within the same country, city, or church, you'll find followers of Jesus who worship, think, pray, talk, vote, and act differently. And that's more than okay. It's good because we're all united in Jesus. But being united does not mean we all need to be the same. It means we're loved the same. And it means we all have the same access to God through Jesus. Through his death and resurrection, it destroyed the argument that only certain people are welcome in God's family, our kingdom. Jesus died for everyone, including me, you, Samaritans, and the people you struggle to love. And in Jesus, we're all invited to become children of God, differences and all. I will say that this applies to people who aren't saved as well, people who are caught up in sin and kind of caught in the darkness. It kind of goes back to the Sermon on the Mount and what it means to be the salt and light in a dark world or a culture that is dark and in sin. We have an opportunity to show love to those people as well, to be the other option to the lifestyle that they're living, not to condemn them in their sin, because that's kind of the work of the enemy, but to offer a hand. Offer a hand of grace, peace, and love and salvation. Allow the Lord to convict them where they're at, and we kind of help after they've been brought to that place. And that's kind of this process that we're offered to reach out to the culture that it exists. Not to call them out, not to hate, but to love and show grace. And then once they come to that place, it's kind of this idea of we welcome them. God does that work, and then once they're in that place, then we start working on the behavior. It's not, hey, let's work on your behavior while you're still kind of stuck and not fully sold on this Jesus guy, right? So, in Jesus, we're all invited, sinners, Christians, people who are different than us, who are Christians, everybody, we're all invited to become children of God, differences and all. So, that is all I have for today. I really hope that you guys that you found this encouraging, that it, if you're in a situation where you're probably not angry at Samaritans right now, but I'm guessing there could be a person or maybe a group of people who you struggle to love because of differences. And you may not hate them, but you may overlook, avoid, find them uncomfortable to be around or maybe even disgusted. I don't know. Wherever that is at, whoever those people are for you, this is a safe place. We have a community where we can admit that who we're struggling to love, because we all sometimes struggle to love people who aren't like us. And I know it's easier to cancel someone than love them, easier to ignore, but that's not what Jesus challenges us to do. Just like Jesus confronted the Jews with that reality that God loved the Samaritans, the people you're thinking about are loved by God too. And they may be different than you, but you're both made in the image of God, and that makes you valuable and worthy of love. So I really hope that you guys found this as a great time to be encouraged on what it means to love and how we are all in that same battle of what it means struggling with sometimes the differences that we have with others. But we're all here to support each other, to help each other grow in that area, to keep each other accountable to it as well. So I pray that you guys have a blessed rest of your Thursday, and thank you so much for joining.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.